Welcome to this week's CMS Personalized Learning Teacher Voice Podcast, Episode 24, for March 6, 2017. My name is Fred Waples, and today we're going to talk about just one possible way to personalize learning in your classroom. I am a social studies teacher at North Mecklenburg High School, and I love the class philosophy of personalized learning. The whole idea that we can engage every student where they are, who they are, and what they love, wow! I knew I wanted to do it, but it got a little overwhelming when I thought about creating 20, 30, 40 different lessons so that every student is catered to their needs. How do we successfully engage the students? How do we make learning fun? When do we get the time to gauge where they really are and where they've come from and what variables they're bringing into our classroom? What have they mastered already and what gaps still exist in their learning? When I looked at all these questions and I combined this with the whole idea of personalized learning and developing playlists and pathways and outcomes and any other buzzword I can throw in there, well, it just seemed really overwhelming. That's when I created an option that works for me that I want to share with you, and maybe you'll get something out of it too. See, Dr. Howard Gardner in 1983 released his research results on multiple intelligences. His findings have become a major part of education and have shaped decades of classroom teaching. Over the years, the branding has changed. We've heard choice boards, differentiation, choice curriculum, ladder work, and of course, personalized learning. And all of these brands have one thing in common. They are rooted in Dr. Gardner's research called multiple intelligence or learning styles. Dr. Gardner found that every single one of us has a style, a preference, a unique approach to getting instruction and gaining understanding. He discovered there are linguistic or word smart learners who thrive in memorization and reading and writing. My 13-year-old daughter fits this perfectly. She devoured the entire Harry Potter series faster than I could open one of the books. Then there's the logical or logical smart person. They love numbers and thrive in problem solving and abstract thinking and organizational skills. That's my wife. She's a teacher of math at North also, and drives me crazy with all the details that she wants to know. Visual or picture smart, who love artistic expression, and they thrive in painting, drawing, and creating. They also love all things glitter, which, by the way, drives the logical learner to tears usually. Next is the musical or music smart learner. They love rhythm and thrive whenever there's pitch, tone, or a beat involved. Body kinesthetic or body smart learners are often some of the most challenging behaviors in the classroom. Not because they want to be rebellious or even mean to disrupt, but they thrive best in an environment where the body is engaged. And if the body and touch is not engaged, then they become fidgety, restless, and are usually the first ones to get in trouble in our classroom. The introspective or self-smart learner loves to reflect. They thrive in a place where they can journal, meditate, and express their feelings in writing. Just the opposite is the interpersonal or people smart, who love being social, and they thrive where they can be outgoing, friendly, communicate, and pretty much terrify the introspective learner. Finally, the naturalistic or nature smart learner. They love to connect the learning to the outside world, and they thrive in places where patterns exist and they are allowed to categorize things. Wow. So as an educator, how do we begin to develop lessons that bring all eight learning styles to life? How do we connect every learner in every lesson and facilitate so many different ways of personalized learning? How can we ensure that the pathways and playlists we develop are appropriate so that every student in our care feels connected? Those are some pretty big questions, and they can even become overwhelming. But what if there was a way to streamline this process? That's when I had a huge personal aha. Instead of creating playlists and pathways, what would happen if I created tasks based on the eight learning styles that every class I will teach will be made up of? What if I created a discovery of learning styles and then build pathways and playlists based on the learning styles? This would mean only needing to develop 8 tracks of learning that would apply across all of my content areas. This was a huge aha. Now, let's look at how we can implement this option if it sounds as incredible as it truly is. It all starts with discovering each student's learning style preference. To do this, I created a pre-assessment student reflection Google form. Students will complete the pre-assessment for each unit. Following that assessment, they'll take the score of their assessment and complete a Google form reflecting on the standards that we're trying to accomplish. They have to reflect on what areas were their strengths, usually the questions they got the most right, and what areas of the unit were their weaknesses, usually the ones they got the most wrong. Once they've completed the first reflective questions, the Google form stops them and takes them into Edutopia's multiple intelligence inventory. I love the way it is thoroughly worded, very appropriately handled, and best of all, it's free. It is an online inventory that Galilee shares with them what their learning style is, but then gives them suggestions for the classroom that they could implement. So now with pre-assessment scores and strengths and weaknesses, their learning style in hand, they complete the Google reflection by now telling me what their learning style is and what activities they could do to enhance their learning. A music learner might say, "I was really weak in Rome. I think I'll write a rap about Rome and its impact on the modern society." A logical learner might say, "I wasn't sure about the Mongols. I'm going to create a statistical analysis of the population loss of different ethnic groups at their hands." The interpersonal might want to create a journal or a diary reflecting on the characters of the past. Of course, you'll always have to have that one student that says, "I guess I'll just study harder." So you can then take that student to the side and push them a little harder. You now know their learning style, you see their assessment score, and can help them self-evaluate and own the lesson. If you do have that student that just keeps being lazy, let them know. If you don't come up with an assignment, I get to choose it for you. This normally deters the laziness in my kids. So, pre-assessment done. Reflection on success and failures, done. Learning style inventory, done. Merging the two results into implementable learning, almost done. I've discovered if you just turn students loose at this point, they may miss what really is needed for their success down the road and could cut corners. So for this reason, once the student reflection is complete, I meet with every student one-on-one 3 to 5 minutes to approve their ideas. These ideas will become the create folder of Bloom's taxonomy. So for each unit, I create Bloom's taxonomy of remember, apply, analyze, and evaluate. Each folder has 6 to 10 activities for a student to choose from based on their learning style. But the remember folder is left up to them. The create folder is left up to them because they need to create their own learning activity. Now, a lower scoring student might need to spend more time in the remember folder. So maybe they need to do 2 or 3 activities dealing with vocabulary. Whereas a higher flying student would spend more time in evaluate and maybe do 2 create activities. Warning, warning, warning. Do not use pre-made worksheets from awesome places like Teacher Pay Teachers. While they're great for brainstorming and make incredible fodder for development of other ideas, there are just too many answer keys floating out there. Students will cut and paste and it won't help their learning at all. Let me recap. Students take a pre-assessment. Then they reflect on their strengths and weaknesses. Based on the standards through a student reflection Google form. The form links them to an Edutopia multiple intelligence survey and provides results and implementable strategies for them to enjoy. Once they've gathered the results and suggestions, they return to the student reflection to complete the process by making concepts for their learning and needs. As a teacher, you meet with each student to approve, refine, and redirect their ideas for learning. Students are then turned loose to move freely in and out of Bloom's folders for that unit completing assignments they deem worthy for mastery based on their needs. I usually spend 5 days at the end of every unit doing this entire process. And students will have 5 days to complete 6 to 10 assignments, including the 1 or 2 they got approved by me. At the end of all, a final post-assessment is taken. A student must show a 20% improvement, or they have to go back and do 1 more activity from a folder. And they will continue retesting until they show a 20-point improvement from their pretest. Phew, it probably sounds like it's a bit overwhelming, but it really isn't. This is super fun and a great engaging way to bring personalized learning and ownership to your students. They also know I care. This past semester, I had a student who bounced from 3 school districts in 2 years in hopes to avoid alternative placement. His family had all but given up, and when I first met him, I really didn't think he'd give personalized learning a chance. But we found out through the multiple intelligent inventory that he was a naturalistic learner with kinesthetic tendencies. He never felt valued in the classroom and was often disciplined for staring out the window and daydreaming. See, he connected better to the world outside the room than the room he was trapped inside with. We brainstormed and came up with a number of activities that would connect his learning to his learning styles. Did you know that young man showed a 20-point improvement on every pre- and post-test? And on the North Carolina final exam, he just scored an 88%. It reminds me of what Michael Lingerfelt told me one time, who was a Disney Imagineer. Michael said, "Fred, did you know that every single day about 70,000 people walk into Walt Disney World? Of those 70,000 people, there is inevitably one family who has saved for years pennies and loose change in a jar, hoping someday to have that magical experience. Our problem is that of the 70,000 that walk through the gate, we don't know which family that is. So we treat every family as if they're that one." You know, teachers, we may not know every need, crisis, or struggle, but we know they're there. Today, whatever we do, let's treat each kid as if they're the one. Thanks for listening to the CMS Teacher Voice this week. Look forward to learning more with you in the weeks ahead.